Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, the first day of August 2011. Today is our two-month anniversary here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI, The Voice. Our thanks to Doug and Mary Martin, the dynamic owners of this Tucson-based radio station, and everyone associated with this first-class organization for the hospitality that they have shown to Team Buckmaster. Also, thanks to more than 1,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show now on Facebook. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA and Globe. And that is on 1240 AM and then KAPR AM 940 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, and we archive all of the previous programs. Plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at tucsonsentinel.com as well. We are live weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. The lineup for today's show, Mondays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things off and going to a great high-energy start with one of our teams of commentators. Today it's John Munger and Vince Robago. The bottom of the hour, one of the nation's real treasures and Southern Arizona's real treasures, General John Wickham, the former chief of staff of the U.S. Army and American and Korean forces in Korea, and a monthly contributor to the Buckmaster Show on military and foreign affairs. Then we'll close out the program with physicist Lawrence Krauss, the director of the Origins Project at ASU. Dr. Krauss has a piece, an op-ed piece, in today's Wall Street Journal. He had another one 2 weeks ago talking about the future of the space shuttle program. That op-ed piece is raising a lot of eyebrows. Dr. Krauss will join us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Australia, where he is presenting a lecture tonight. Our show is primarily interview-driven. However, we encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us at 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest you want us to interview, we encourage you to contact us. Well, we begin with our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Vince and John, good to see you.
Good to see
you, Bill.
Good to see you, Bill.
Lots going on, of course, with the debt ceiling deal. John Munger, is it a good deal?
I think it's a very good deal. I think it's a down payment on a start. It's just a start, but it. Part of the benefit of this program is we not only do an immediate $1 trillion worth of cuts, we have another $1.4 trillion to be made by, to be decided upon by Thanksgiving, and then we have many more opportunities to keep cutting, and we have to cut. This is nowhere near enough. You know, our government has gotten way too expensive. It's now 25% of the GDP of the United States, and that's way beyond the standard 18%. We need to cut back government. This is not enough, but it's a great way to start, and I'm very proud of what's happened here. I don't know, incidentally, the big excitement today is whether or not we can get enough Democratic votes in the House to pass this thing. In the House, the Republicans, about three-quarters of the Republicans are going to vote for it. Only about a quarter of the Dems are going to vote for this thing on the House floor today. So it's going to be a very tight vote. The question is principally whether we can get enough Democratic votes to pass it.
Vince Robago, Representative Raul Grijalva, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, said in a statement, this deal is a cure as bad as the disease.
Well, you know, I think what the congressman is referring to is the method and manner in which this has occurred. And without getting into the details of exactly what the numbers are going to be or what's going to happen in right. November, what we've seen here, and I just want to make this as basic as I can, is it's sort of like, for those of you that are parents out there, when you have several children and you have one that throws a tantrum in the middle of the store and refuses to leave unless you buy him a toy. Well, you know the responsible thing is not to buy that toy because it's just going to encourage that behavior in the future. And so what I see happening here, and I think what the congressman is referring to, is that toy may be the worst deal ever, but if you buy it to placate that screaming child that's throwing a tantrum, you have sunk your ability to deal rationally with the issue, to have a good decision, and you end up buying a bad toy.
So you're saying the Republicans were throwing the tantrum.
Not all Republicans. No, don't get me wrong. And this is where, I'm not going to wear a party hat today. So,
Republican leadership.
What I'm telling you is just my opinion is that, no, I'm talking about the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party is what is driving this and what has pushed on the Republican side. And they, of course, then went lockstep to try to I should say, throw out negotiations unless they got what they wanted. And that is to put the country to the brink of default, despite the fact that the Constitution says you do not call in to question the public debt.
Okay.
So that's what I see in the first part. Before we even get to the substance of what the congressman is talking about.
Let's talk about what brought this country to the brink of default, Vince. What brought this country to the brink of default is that this president has caused the deficit to go up in his 2.5 years in office from $10 trillion to over almost $15 trillion in 2.5 years. That's what has brought us to the brink of default. And that was brought to us thanks to Barack Obama and the Democratic Congresses in the last 2 years. Now, the Tea Party, thank God for the Tea Party. They are the only ones that are talking about reducing this spending. The president had no plan. He had no plan whatsoever. The only thing he was talking about was, generally speaking, having some cuts in the range of $1 trillion, and then raising income to the tune of $1 trillion, which is a wash. That doesn't reduce government. That cuts spending in one area and then raises spending to the tune of $1 trillion in another area. The president never wrote a plan. The president has shown in this matter that he's not a leader. He's a great speech maker, but he is AWOL on this deal. But the fact of the matter is that what has brought us to the brink of disaster here is the outrageous spending from the liberal side. And the reason Raul Grijalva is against this is he's the spoiled child, Vince. He wants to spend more money that we don't have. So we've got to get this government back under control. This is a bill, incidentally, which both the Republicans and the Democrats leadership have agreed to, and yet Raul Grijalva and most of the Democrats are going to vote against this thing. You talk about who the spoiled children are, let the public decide. This is a bill the president supports, leadership supports, and Raul Grijalva is off crying in the bushes.
Thank God for the Tea Party is what John says.
You know, the reality is whether or not the president could be criticized rightfully or wrongfully for not presenting a plan, and I can understand that pitch or that argument about that, but what I would say is that no plan is better than a bad plan. Like that bad toy I talked about with the child screaming and the tantrum in the grocery store. When you push a bad plan, you push our country to the brink of default. What you have is damage. What has happened now is people's view and the reality is this is actually real. It's not just a view. Congress is becoming more and more dysfunctional. Our reputation in the world has taken a major blow. Other countries are saying, wow, we're going to back away from this positive bias we've had towards U.S. Treasury bonds if this is what we're seeing. And all of this is a result, and let me address John's assertions. All of this is a result, frankly, of a squandering of a surplus. When President Clinton left office, we had about a $6 trillion debt, and we had a surplus in terms of going forward that was squandered, and two wars were paid for off the books. We had the greatest prescription benefit without a revenue source in history under Republican watch, under George Bush's watch, and yet we seem to forget what has happened. You know what? President Barack Obama has only been in office in a short while, and all those costs and those credit card wars that were put upon the American people during George Bush's regime have not been paid for.
Vince,
so we forget about that. Let's not ignore history, John.
Let's look at reality.
Let's look at
both
history.
History is that both sides put us in this box originally. The difference is the Republicans are admitting that and the Democrats aren't. And the Republicans are saying, okay, we all created this problem together. And I point out
to you. I didn't hear you say that
Vince,
a moment ago.
Let me finish this off.
Quickly, we're going to take
Republicans,
a break.
when George Bush was president the last 2 years, the Congress was completely controlled by the Democrats. So the spending that occurred in the last 2 years of George Bush's reign was done with the help of the Democratic Congress. Now, the answer is, what has really embarrassed this country is not trying to solve the problem, Vince. What's embarrassed this country is that the problem exists to the extent it has.
Okay, and Vince, we'll have the next word when we take the break here. 790-2040, John Munger and Vince Rabago with us on the Monday Political Face-Off. And, of course, we are talking about the debt deal. Not done completely. There still needs to be that vote. Stay with us. We'll be back with John and Vince. They have a lot more to say about this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanqueverty Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
We do want to welcome that new sponsor to the team, Buckmaster Splendido up in Oro Valley. Thank you very much. We're delighted to have them as part of the Team Buckmaster program here. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the home of the Buckmaster Show. And every Monday, we lead things off with the political face-off. Vince Robago and John Munger are with us today. And of course, we're talking about the hot news about a debt deal, not completely done, still has to be voted on. And Vince, why don't you pick it up? Because I think John had the last word before the break, as I recall. Vince?
Well, what I hear is I hear a lot of blame on one hand, and then it's we're sharing the responsibility. So it just doesn't make sense to me. The reality is what we had here is a situation that should not have occurred. Now, I'm not talking about the merits of it or the merits of what the specifics are, and John addressed some of that, and I'm happy to do that in just a second. But any time you allow one group to push our political debate to the brink of
default. Talking about the Tea Party.
I am. And I wanted to just point out one fact, for example. When George W. Bush, they had seven increases of the debt ceiling.
We're going to blame
President
Bush
George
again.
Bush. No. I, this is facts. Facts, history. seven signings of the debt ceiling, raising it under Bush. We had 18 times they raised it under Ronald Reagan. We had six times under President Clinton. And suddenly, because the Tea Party is flexing their muscle, it becomes a manufactured crisis. And so instead of dealing with these problems that I agree with, we have problems now with the debt and the deficit paid for by the things that I mentioned previously, but it becomes then a matter of national and international concern.
You're saying the Tea Party is really driving the debate.
And sure, they're driving the debate. That's what they were elected to do, is drive the debate. Look, Vince.
Just because they're driving it doesn't make it good.
Well,
that's the issue.
Well, then let's talk about the merits.
Let's do that.
I think the public out there supports the fact that government is too big, and it is the Tea Party and only the Tea Party, Vince, that is pushing reduction in size of the government and cutting spending. What the Democrats have been pushing is, in the midst of all of this, is raising more taxes to solve their problems, and the cuts they were talking about were not cuts. For example, Harry Reid's proposed cuts over the next 10 years, he counted as a cut that we wouldn't be in the Afghan and Iraq war in the next 10 years. So he counted that as a cut. Hmm. That's not a cut. That's just facts that already exist. So what they were doing is they had false cuts and were trying to make up more money to put into more government spending with more tax revenues. And what the Tea Party said is, no, we've tried that. We've tried it over the past 20 years. We're not doing that anymore. I don't think that's a bad thing, Vince. I think there's a difference. If you don't like what they did, fine. But I can understand
that.
Well,
it's not
done yet. But don't object just because you don't like what they're doing. Don't call them crybabies because they stood up for principle. I will tell you, Raul Grijalva is doing the same thing. He's going to vote no. And the liberals in Congress are overwhelmingly going to vote no on this deal that the president himself supports.
Number one, you know, I think someone's calling Wolf a little prematurely because, John's making it sound like they've already voted and he's citing numbers that the Democrats are voting on. I actually want to talk about the substance. I think that the Democrats are going to vote for this. I think it's going to pass. And what you're going to see is you're going to see in the long term, I think this is a win for President Barack Obama. I think in the long term, this is going to be a loss for Speaker Boehner and for the Republican Party. I think in the long term, it's a loss for our country by allowing a political movement to hold our country hostage. But what I see here at the forefront is the claim that we've got to have these spending cuts. The reality is they are not focusing on jobs. We've had the highest rate of unemployment that we've had in our country since the 30s. And what we have is the no tax, got to cut spending ideology only. No room for any debate on either side. That's what's driving the debate to the brink of disaster.
That's what I see as a
political problem. And like I said, my political party may not agree with what I'm saying. I'm telling you what I see. President Obama wins because we get some confidence in the markets. We see him come out of this as saying,
it's a big win for President Obama.
It's a huge win for him. So what I'm telling you is my own political perspective as to what I see, what's wrong with the process. We've got to open up the hood of our government and fix what's going wrong with it.
The
Tea Party and the ideologues are driving this into the ground.
What's been wrong with the government for too many years is that we haven't had people willing to stand up and do what's right. It's always been the beauty of the deal. These people are not interested in a deal. They're interested in doing what's right, Vince, and that's what appalls you.
No, not at all.
You're used to people in Congress making deal for the sake of the deal. And let me tell you, I happen to disagree with you that President Obama is coming out ahead on this thing, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't care what happens to President Obama. What I care is that for the first time, the markets are looking at this thing and investors are looking at this thing from across the world and saying, finally, the Americans have finally got their act together and they're cutting spending.
That's not what the markets are being happy about. They're happy that we're not defaulting.
Yes.
So there's a difference between that and saying cutting spending.
No,
and you're conflating the two. And here's the problem. Here we go
again.
They
are looking, though.
It's all based on saying it's all ideological. We've got to make these cuts because cuts are good in and of themselves because we've grown too big. It ignores the history of how we got here. It allows one movement of a party to push the debate. I think, like I said, ultimately this helps President Obama win re-election. Medicare.
Then why are you fighting it?
I'm just telling you, this is my opinion. This is what went wrong with this. This is why many folks are feeling that this process should not be used in this manner to hold our debt obligations hostage. You see ideology, saying we're not going to accept
anything. Oh, you don't have any ideology?
We're not going to accept anything.
Are you saying you don't stand up for what
willing,
you believe
I'm willing
in?
To compromise saying, when we're dealing
Raul
with facts.
Grijalva
but
isn't.
The reality is
Raul
we're not.
Grijalva
We're not dealing with it when you say
75% when you say of the Democrats in when Congress you say are not willing to
any
vote.
Consideration of revenues are off the table,
Vince.
At all. Mm-hmm. That is, it's the branch. If it does not bend, it's going to break, mm-hmm. and that's what's happening in our
Vince,
country with this sort of debate.
What I'm telling you is, when you watch the vote today, and I just looked at the vote count before I came down here. This thing is right now 212 for and 219 against.
Really?
Yes. And they've got to come up with about four more votes. Of the fours, there's about 157 Republicans out of just over 200. And there's only something in the range of 40 or 50 Dems of 200. So the Dems, including Raul Grijalva, they're not compromising, Vince.
And you got
they're
Republicans
voting, no, not,
also.
Not tell, not
you got
tell,
Republicans also.
No, but
Michelle
three,
Bachmann.
But Vince, let me finish. Three quarters of the Republicans are voting aye on this, and three quarters of the Democrats are going to vote no. Ballpark. Now, who is it? Why don't you call your people a crybaby and ideologues because they are refusing to go along with something that the leadership in both parties want to go in? Who's going along with the compromise deal?
That's like saying hey, when a kidnapper comes in and kidnaps you, and if you choose not to go along with them, you know what?
You're calling the president a kidnapper?
No, I'm calling the Tea Party movement. I'm calling the Tea Party movement hostage takers because they took over this debate.
You just don't like the compromise.
I don't like how they did it, and it's wrong to never consider other options. That's what happened.
They did consider other options.
And just because they've reached an agreement doesn't mean it's good.
What this is about, Vince, is you don't like the deal. The president likes the deal. Harry Reid likes the deal. Nancy Pelosi's going to vote for the deal, but three-quarters of the Democrats aren't. And that they're the ones that are the crybabies in this deal. They're the ones that are refusing to compromise.
John and Vince, thank you very much. We'll see how this plays out and what that final vote will be. Have a great afternoon, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham is next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us, coming up now on 12:30.
Is he up?
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Republican leaders in the House say they plan to bring the deficit-cutting plan to the floor for a vote later today, an apparent sign of confidence that they'll have the votes they need to approve the plan, despite continued resistance from some conservatives who think the cuts don't go deep enough. In the Senate, Majority Leader Harry Reid says he's hoping for an agreement to allow a vote by this evening. Activists say there are four additional deaths today in the Syrian city of Hama from a continuing government assault on the city. It's part of an effort to subdue a town that's been at the center of anti-government dissent. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich now has a better idea of when he might start serving time for his multiple convictions on corruption charges. A Chicago judge today set a sentencing date of October 6th. The Dow down 13 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.com. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the home of the Buckmaster Show. We are here live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Well, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, says the president's order to begin withdrawing 33,000 additional American surge troops from Afghanistan beginning this summer can be carried out without putting the mission at risk. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and commander of all American and U.S. forces in Korea. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to hear your voice and to hear your program. Yes, Mike Mullen has made this announcement. He's over there now, and we've made a lot of progress in fielding the Afghan army and police, increasing the size of their capabilities, and it's clear that they are able to do more with our help. And furthermore, what's important is that we've got to turn over the responsibility to the Afghan forces. If we don't start down this pike of turning it over, they're going to have us over there forever making us absorb all of the losses. They've got to begin to do it. So we're going to take out 10,000 troops by December this year and then 23,000 by the end of next summer. We could do more. My humble view is we need to get out of Afghanistan as soon as we can. We're spending $2 billion, that's B, billion, a week over there, at least. And we need to begin to spend some of that money back home.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. And General Wickham, I'm sure you saw the story, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, about a congressional report. No, it was the New York Times, a congressional report finding the security is deteriorating in Iraq, where 47,000 American troops are due to be sent home in 5 months. That's not a good sign.
Not a good sign at all. Iraq is, many people have known over the years, has been sort of a kludged together a group of ethnic entities, Christians, Kurds, Shiites, and Sunni, and there's a lot of animosity among them. It's going to be difficult for them to live in harmony if ever they can. Churchill, who was over there back in the 1930s working for the Foreign Service of the UK, sent home a cable one time. He said, "This place is ungovernable. And we need to get out of here." This was back in the 1930s. Yes, we've squandered or spent a lot of resources on Iraq. It could become an enormous success story, and I think it will. Democracy in growing in that part of the world, and it's got probably the second largest oil reserves in the world. Yes, it could be valuable, but it's just going to take an awful lot of the Iraqis working together among themselves. to sort this out. Now, the Iranians are not helping. There's clear evidence that the Iranians are contributing some weapons and leadership to undermine the U.S. presence and to get us out of there. And I think we need to get out of there. We're probably going to have to leave some troops back there, obviously to protect the embassy, as we always do with Marines, but also to do some training. But I don't think we need to leave very many troops back there. If the Iraqis don't want us, we should leave.
General John Wickham is with us. It's 12:39 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a comment for General Wickham, 790-2040, 790-2040. General, I know that you read about the Walter Reed Army Medical Facility closing last week after 100 years of history. You have some personal history at that facility.
Oh, yes. I spent 5 months there recovering from near-mortal wounds in Vietnam, my first tour, and I've known many of the commanders at Walter Reed. It's a wonderful facility, but there's some reason for moving the facility to Bethesda, which is not far away, a few miles, and then part of it going down to DeWitt Medical Facility down at Fort Belvoir. Walter Reed is going to be named again up at Bethesda. There will be a Walter Reed there. So it's not going to go away, although it's sad to see that 107-year history come to a close. But the reason for it is consolidation makes some sense. There's going to save some resources and funding in the future. So that's why we're doing it.
General Wick, I'm sure you read about that article. I think it was in the Arizona Daily Star about those that have been received Purple Hearts. These are veterans who have been injured in conflicts America has been involved in. Seem to do better when it comes to longevity than vets who have not been wounded. Curious.
It's a precarious article. You're right, Bill, and it's encouraging that the Veterans Administration is examining issues like that to find out what can be done to increase the longevity of veterans rather than just sort of let them percolate along and let God do what has to be done. But there is some evidence now that veterans with Purple Hearts live longer, have a longer longevity, and there's some rationale for it. One reason is that veterans with a Purple Heart have a top priority for medical care. When they get their cards from the VA, and every veteran listening to this program needs to get a card from the Veterans Administration. It's free. It's easy to do. All you've got to go down there is with a copy of your discharge form, and you're going to get your card. But if you got a Purple Heart, that's put right on the card. So there's some basis there for better care. Number two, anybody who's had a Purple Heart has had a brush with death, and they realize their mortality, and they realize as they grow older that they have some obligation perhaps to take better care of themselves given their brush with death, and therefore that's another rationale. They're taking better care of themselves as they grow older. It may be their family also sensing the gift of another life with somebody that's been given a Purple Heart may go out of their way to take better care of the veteran. So there are a variety of reasons why vets with Purple Hearts have better longevity. I don't know that we need to say that, well, we got to get everybody a Purple Heart to make them last longer or they get wounded. But there is some rationale behind this.
And we're quickly running out of time, but we do want to acknowledge, General Wickham, that there are, I believe, about 200 members of the local chapter of the Military Order of Purple Heart, and you know many of these members here in southern Arizona.
That's an excellent point, Bill. I forgot to say that's another reason, because people belong to an association like that, and I belong to the Cavalry Division Association, and there's the camaraderie that comes from Purple Heart Association or the CAV or whatever unit may be. Also, that contributes to take care of each other and looking out for their longevity. So it's a very good point, pointing that out.
General Wickham, it's always a pleasure having you on the Buckmaster Show, and I want to thank you for your service to this country, and thank you for being a contributor to our program. I hope you give my regards to your lovely wife, Anne, and I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Bill, and thank you for your contributions to better education of our public here, your wonderful program, and you're a gifted man that does great work for us.
Thank you very much. General Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 1244, we will be talking about space, coming up with Dr. Krauss, Lawrence Krauss, next on the Buckmaster Show.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at MedicineManGallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at MedicineManGallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see. ¶¶
1248 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. Some $3 billion already being spent on the James Webb Space Telescope, the successor to the very successful Hubble Space Telescope. Yet the House Appropriation Committee is recommending terminating it because it is over budget and has had management issues that have led, among other things, to significant delays. Canceling the James Webb Space Telescope would likely herald the beginning of the end of U.S. leadership in space science, so writes Dr. Lawrence Krauss in today's Wall Street Journal in an op-ed piece. Dr. Krauss, a theoretical physicist who is Foundation Professor of the School of Earth and Space Exploration and Director of the Origins Project at ASU in Tempe. He's the author of several best-selling books, including the new book that he has out called Quantum Man, Richard Feynman's Life and Science. He's also the author of The Physics of Star Trek. Dr. Krauss joins us on the Buckmaster Show from Australia, where he is presenting a lecture. Dr. Krauss, I am so sorry to get you up so early in the morning, but it is important, I think, what you have to say. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be there, virtually at least.
You have a couple of op-ed pieces, both I think within the last 10 days. I want to start with the one about the James Webb Space Telescope. How serious is this concern that this project may be scrubbed?
Well, I have to say, I think the community was kind of shocked as to when a major, something that's been recommended by the entire scientific community as one of the highest priorities for the next decade of research, and something in which several billion dollars have been spent is going to be canceled. There have been rumors, and one of the heads of the JWST project, John Mather, a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, had talked to me about this, and I really didn't think it was possible. But I think it's really sent shockwaves throughout the community. And the problem is that advanced scientific research doesn't really have a constituency necessarily among the public, and it seems like an easy thing for governments to cut, because scientists don't vote as a single block usually, and something like understanding the universe seems relatively esoteric, and I think people often say, well, look, if budgets are tight, we really need to cut things. But what's unfortunate is that if we have to cut, we shouldn't cut our highest priority science, because we as a culture have learned a tremendous amount about the universe, changing our perspective of our place in the cosmos. But research at the forefront, you never know where it's going to lead. And our current standard of living is really based on fundamental curiosity-driven research that was done a generation ago from the, or two generations ago from the invention of the transistor on. But aside from the technological applications, the sad thing is that we've spent, for example, the two pieces that you talk about, one was about the space shuttle, which was essentially an awful waste of money of $200 billion, and now we have this $7 billion project over a decade. Seems like a lot of money, but it's over a decade. It's less than the air conditioning costs in for a day in Afghanistan, and I think it's an unfortunate if we as a nation are so bankrupt that we can't lead in the most exciting intellectual inquiry in the history of humanity.
Yeah, you were referring to the your previous Wall Street Journal op-ed. The shuttle was a dud, but space is still our destiny. And it does. You do make a very good point there. Now, with the ending of the shuttle program and kind of a downsizing at NASA, there is a tendency, I guess, to really lump this very important James Webb Space Telescope in that whole cutting arena, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, one could say, what's the point of these incredible images of the early universe? But when I lecture anywhere, people are inspired by those Hubble Space Telescope pictures, and this is a successful successor to Hubble. And if we're trying to think about inspiring young people to enter a career in science, not all of them are going to go become astronomers. Some of them become engineers. Some of them will go on and invent wonderful things that are going to affect our economy. We want to inspire and encourage kids to do better in science, and And these amazing images of our universal origins are inspirational. And in fact, I can't think of any images perhaps that inspire members of the public more than those beautiful Hubble images. And James Webb is going to go back further. It's going to go back to the formation of the very first stars in the universe, trying to help us understand how stars and black holes and ultimately galaxies in which we're housed form.
You know, from a public relations point of view, you're right. Those images are the lasting ones, and especially the ones for the young people. You write in your one of your earlier op-ed piece about 10 days ago about the shuttle, but about space still being our destiny, that you, as a kid, were dreaming big dreams in many ways because of the space program in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. And it's probably best to look at the two pieces together, because I testified before Congress with Buzz Aldrin about a decade ago about the future of space exploration. And I think we just have to be honest about the fact that when we do science in space, it doesn't involve humans. But when we send humans into space, we primarily do it to inspire, to explore, and for adventure. But the problem is we make this pretense that we're doing science by sending humans into space. We make the pretense that we're doing science aboard the International Space Station, which is a $200 billion boondoggle that really is just floating. It's a very smelly tin can floating a distance above the Earth that New York is from Boston, and the entire scientific community has said for a long time this is really a waste of money, and here we are spending $200 billion or $100 billion on the International Space Station, and we're not spending money to do the real science, which is the stuff that doesn't involve humans. So what we have to do, I think, is be honest and say, look, the science we do with space telescopes, with rovers on Mars, and the human exploration doesn't involve science, it involves adventure. And I think as a country, we have to understand that, be honest about it, and I expect that we have the money to do both.
Dr. Lawrence Krauss is professor and director of the Origins Project at ASU. He is on the Buckmaster Show live line from Australia, where he is presenting a lecture down under. And in conclusion, Dr. Krauss, what is the future then of the space program and NASA at this point?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, from a perspective of going into low Earth orbit, the administration has decided, I think rightly, that it's going to foster new development of new vehicles and try and let private industry build and deliver astronauts and other equipment into low Earth orbit. I think that's not unreasonable. If we want to explore beyond the Earth, I think it's clear that the private sector can't do it, and government is going to have to be involved, and it's going to take a lot of money, and people have to realize that it takes an incredible amount of money to send humans into space. If we want to explore Mars, however, for example, we could send 1,000 rovers for the price of a single human, and I think probably if we're going to explore our planets and look for life elsewhere in the solar system, robots are the way to do it. As far as the real science, the science of exploring the rest of the universe, I'm very concerned, because if the James Webb Space Telescope is canceled, it's really the centerpiece of this nation's program for the next decade, if not the next generation. And as I said in my piece in the Wall Street Journal, it's like when the superconducting supercollider was canceled in Texas. The United States ceded its leadership in particle physics, and it affected an entire generation of people. And I fear for the health and welfare of astronomy and fundamental space science if this program is canceled.
Got about a minute to go, Dr. Krauss. And here in Tucson, of course, so much is focused to the University of Arizona and space programs at the UA. But ASU is really coming on, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I moved there. I moved there 3 years ago because it's really growing. The president of the university has built an entire program. And the Origins Project, which I'm leading, is incredibly exciting. It looks at everything from the origins of the universe to the origins of consciousness. And we're also... I came there as part of building a cosmology program. We've hired 6 new faculty. This is one of the most exciting eras in our understanding of the universe. Our picture of the universe has changed completely in the last several decades. It's a wonderful time to be studying with new tools, and every time we open a new window on the universe, we're surprised. And it's really sad to think that as I said, as I entitled one of my pieces, that we're sort of blinded and blindsided by by this unfortunate decision to take an easy swipe at science and cut a program which really in the long term costs very little compared to a lot of the other expenditures we're making as a nation.
Dr. Richard Krause, thank you very much for joining us on the Buckmaster Show, where it's midday, of course, in Arizona, and early in the morning in Australia, where you are on Tuesday morning. Have a great day down under, Dr. Krause.
Okay, thank you very much. You take care.
Thank you very much. Go out 12:59 now on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Krause is professor and director of the Origins Project at ASU. Sounds like he's got a lot going on up there in Tempe and down in Australia where he is today. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for the first day of August Buckmaster Show edition as we get ready with another month here. Already 2 months into the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, we're very happy to be here. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.